Hi, I'm Antonio Centeno, and you're listening to the Personal Image System Podcast. Gentlemen, just a reminder that everything here is pulled from the Personal Image System. The Personal Image System, it's my master level course. I offer it a few times a year. Guys, this course is it's built off decades of research, development, my experience as a custom clothier, having dressed thousands of men. I also take my background in evolutionary biology and I apply it to the science of style and how all this information can help you become a better dressed guy. It's action oriented. It's got an amazing community. We've got live training, 100 plus lessons, body language, etiquette, manners, buy lists. Guys, go check it out. You're not going to be disappointed. And if you want to find it, just type into Google, the Personal Image System. It should pop up. If not, then go check out Real Men, Real Style, and you'll see a banner right over there. Or you can always email me, antonio@realmenrealstyle.com. Manners, etiquette, it's something I think that's fallen out of favor. It's not something you hear a whole lot of people talking about. Yet, if you want to have success, if you want to get out there and put your best foot forward, clothing and image is only a part of that. The other part is when you open your mouth, when you actually take action and people make very quick decisions based off of how you act, how you treat them. And that, I think, is the core essence to manners and etiquette. Now, I'm going to explain the difference here in a second, but understand this is important in a world in which it seemed to have somehow belittled or it has negated the importance of these time-tested, these things that just go to show that you actually are in, that you care about your fellow man, about, and I know a lot of it is, you know, you hear, okay, you're a guy and you're told don't open doors for women anymore. It's something that's going to get you in trouble. You're going to have some feminist just yell at you. Guys, that's a bunch of BS. Now, if you just open a door for somebody and you don't know them and it's for no reason and they happen to be someone who likes to do things for themselves, they may actually be offended, but that doesn't make them a feminist and it doesn't mean that you were actually in the right by opening the door. Sometimes I know I've had some people tell me they don't want, and I know I'm focused on a little specific example here, but I've had people tell me, well, when somebody opens a door for me, I feel like I have to really quick speed up or I wasn't even going to go in at that moment. And all of a sudden I feel the need to, and do I open the next door for them? You open a door for somebody whenever you want to help them out. You see somebody with something in their hands. Doesn't matter if they're a man, woman, child, you open the door for them. You make their life easier. And I think that's one of the key things to focus in on manners and etiquette is the goal here is to make other people's lives easier, to make them more enjoyable, and in a sense, to do for others what you would like to have done for you. Now, the difference between manners and etiquette is really pretty simple. Manners, those are the basic rules and expectations. It's for a wide range of social and professional situations. So there are business manners. There are regular social manners. And the manners in general, they can change a little bit across cultures, but you'll find that manners, if you've got good manners and you're an American, you can travel to Ukraine and people will expect, they will be like, wow, this person has good manners. So manners can actually break. And I know I'm using, that's my personal example, having eaten multiple meals with my initial, you know, girlfriend and fiance, now wife, her family was always impressed, which I found out later, by my mannerisms and how I was always, you know, very polite, very conscious in a culture which they had actually had men come in and they were not like this. Etiquette though, it's the broader sum of social behaviors. And it's more specific to, you may find etiquette in one area of the United States is not the same in the other etiquette. Etiquette also becomes much more specific to certain things like eating. So when you go to eat at a fancy restaurant and you're in the United States, let's say you're the Southeast, and you find it's a multi-course meal and you've got various forks, various spoons, that's when we start to talk about etiquette. And you're not expected to always know everything that goes with etiquette, but you do know oftentimes if you're going to be going to a really nice dinner, a fancy wedding in which maybe you want to brush up or you want to quickly go grab, you know, a book that gives you some of the basic rules. And by the way, the basic rules are you start out and you make your way in. But let me go ahead and start off where I learned actually most of my etiquette. I learned many of my manners from my mother. My mother was very strict about you've got to have proper manners. And to this day, I am very strict with my four children about having manners. It starts at the home. So there's a saying about if an Englishman, if they're together and no one's even watching, if they're going to do something, they will form an orderly queue and get in line, even though no one is telling them to do so. And I think that's just because I like that one, because it reminds me of how we are and how we behave is how we practice. So if you want to have good manners, if you want to have great etiquette, then it all starts with you. And it starts at home on a daily basis. So practice good manners with your family. Practice good manners with your friends. Practice good manners in general when nobody's looking. Because when people are looking, it's going to be second nature. And you're not going to have to fake it. You're not going to be putting out anything that isn't who you are. So I'm not going to go any farther down the etiquette path. Right now, I'm going to be focused on manners. And I'm going to be, you know, bring up various everyday circumstances which we run into. But I think it's worth touching on. And, you know, let me know if you guys want to go over. You can check out the show notes at realmenrealstyle.com/episode17. And when you go over there, I'll probably link over to some other additional information about manners. I'll also link over to the additional podcast where we talk about etiquette. But let's start with something as simple as walking down the street. Now, have you ever noticed that oftentimes people don't make eye contact, people don't even look at each other, and in a busy city, that makes sense. But what happens when you're on a public street and it's early in the morning and you have one person walking by you, you're walking by that other person? Do you engage with them? Do you look up? Now, actually, the basic etiquette is if it's polite and if I would say big cities, you don't see it much, but I always look up. And if there's not a whole lot of people around or it's just me and that other person, I do give them a greeting as, you know, a good morning. It doesn't have to be anything simple. I understand some women actually, and this is why I'm focused on manly manners, manners for men, why they actually are very hesitant to actually greet people. Sometimes some men can perceive that as being, you know, an open invitation to start a conversation or to engage them. Let's just say, you know, hey, guys are like, hey, a beautiful woman says hello. You may want to actually say more, but if you're, you know, so be aware that not everyone is going to return that. But oftentimes I am the person, especially if it's just a one-on-one if it's a very crowded street, it's not going to happen. And it may actually make you look kind of crazy that you're trying to greet everyone. You hear about those people sit at the edge of a corner and they're always waving to people going by. Yeah, you know, that's cool and stuff, but not probably something most of us are going to do. Also understand the time of day matters. So in the evening, particularly when that person is alone, people oftentimes are a bit more jumpy. So you want to be careful. Mornings, I think it's a better time to greet. Also in a space in which, you know, it could be you're at a charity event, your kids are at a dance event, and you're there with the baby walking, you know, kind of outside, and you're walking by someone, then you can give them a greeting. You know, obviously non-threat there. But just understand that your situation is very important. So let's get down basic table manners and understand table manners in business are going to be different than table manners at your home. Not too much different, but basically whenever you go and let's say your girlfriend, she invites you over to her family's Thanksgiving meal. Basically, you want to assume that there is a place that you will be seated. Oftentimes the host, or you can wait to be seated. People will oftentimes point you in a direction. Reason being, sometimes kids or people that live there, they actually have places where they like to be seated, and the hostess may have plans. If she doesn't, then go ahead and sit yourself next to the person that you came with. Now, when to start eating. The thing is, if you are a guest and you're not familiar with their normal mannerisms, then you want to kind of sit back and you want to follow the lead. So look around. How are the others? You know, is everyone just putting stuff on their plate and beginning to eat? Is there going to be a prayer? Understand that you may not. Again, this is about you being aware. And that's one of the key things with manners is how can you make their life better? How can you not embarrass your girlfriend? How can you not embarrass your host by all of a sudden you just serve yourself and you're chowing down and then you realize halfway through your meal that everyone else is waiting because they're going to have a prayer. So those are the type of things that you want to be looking for. Now, in general, like I said, if you're going to be eating, and again, some of this is etiquette, so I'm not going to go too far down this, but you want to make sure that you always start on the outside and you go in. Also, You know, I kind of skipped over this, but when to start eating. So if you're actually being served food, you want to wait till probably 75, and this is assuming that it's a large group, especially if you're at a restaurant. And if 75% of people, I like to think 3 out of 4, if 3 out of 4 are served, then it's okay to start eating. But you want to wait till it's a bit more than half. Sometimes it may be, you know, and also ask, maybe if you're unsure, ask the other person if it's okay if you go ahead and start your meal. You don't want your meal, though, to sit there for 5 to 10 minutes and get cold. So that's one of the things to pay attention to. And people appreciate actually being asked. So a lot more I could go in there. One of the things, elbows. They may be laid lightly on the table, but your weight should never rest. Basically, someone shouldn't be able to knock your elbow out and you shouldn't fall into your soup or whatever it is. Me personally, I avoid putting elbows on the table. I don't mind resting your forearm on the table, but I try to keep my elbows closer to my body. And let's also talk about, you know, if you're going to get up, then the napkin. Immediately, you can put the napkin on your on your lap, and if the lap disappears, you're going to get up. Then you put the napkin over to the next to right to the right or to the left. Doesn't really matter. Excuse yourself if you're going to be getting up. You don't have to explain where you're going. You just simply go to the bathroom if you need to, or step out. You know, whatever it is, why you're going to be leaving the table. Maybe you got to take an important call. Although I would say that modern phone etiquette, you should probably keep and, you know, leave those calls till later. You're in somebody's presence and you want to give them respect. So again, there are other things let's take for public dressing. So anything with stains or holes that should be reserved for chores around the house or for maybe wearing in the house, but you don't want to be wearing clothes with stains or holes, even to the gym. I do advocate that a man actually present, you know, he wears actually good gym clothing. Why? Well, I live in a small town, and I know when I go to the YMCA, I run into people that I can do business with that are friends, and they've got an expectation. So if it's got stains, it's got holes, you may still find use for it in and around doing chores, but if you're not going to use it for that, then you should really consider throwing it out. Now, wearing the same clothing again and again, you want to prevent that. I'm not saying that you can't wear the same clothing multiple times in the same week, especially, I know I like to do that with sweaters. Oftentimes I'm coming to the office, but if you're going to be in and around people, you want to understand that, especially if it's something that grabs attention, that gets compliments on it, then you want to wear it after. You want to make sure it's clean when you wear it again. I'm not saying you have to wash your sweater. You have to wash your wool trousers, or even that that cotton dress shirt. If it's not dirty, you only wore it for a few hours, then you could probably hang it back up and look at the collar and the neck area. But if something is dirty, if something even perhaps could start to smell, and this actually happens with shirts. If you wear, even if you're just wearing for an hour or two, you do sweat on that, and over time you can get a bacteria buildup in the armpit area and they could start to smell. Just be aware that you want to be in tune. You don't want to smell. You don't want to look raggedy. You don't want people to question, you know, is this guy, would I want to get close to him? So dress shirts, they're not meant to be worn untucked. You know, it's a dress shirt. Basically, when you untuck it, it looks like a dress. Guys, don't wear them untucked. Shirts that are made to be untucked usually have it so that they've got either a straight bottom or they're going to be much closer. So actually it would be harder for them to even stay untucked. Your leathers in general, they should match. Pants that have belt loops, you should wear a belt with them. If you're not going to be wearing a belt, then just get rid of the loops. All right, so I alluded to it, but let's go ahead and let's talk about manners for the office. So good manners at work are, it's just one of those things that it's going to make people want to be around you. No one wants to be around the selfish jerk that is just out there looking, you know, he's making a mess. He never cleans up after himself. So understand that there is shared property at the office, especially, you know, have you ever heard of the tragedy of the commons? It's an economic story, but basically it's the idea that where people could, there was a commons in a castle or in a village, and everyone could graze their sheep there. And since everyone could graze their sheep there, everyone did graze their sheep there, and they overdid it and they ended up destroying the commons. You want to avoid this. And if this is your company, you want to make sure that there are very clearly stated rules. People just don't always grow up with the same manners. But let's say you take the last cup of coffee. It's in the morning. Make another pot. You are the person that needs to do this. If you know you've got, you look in there and everything's already in the washing machine and it is set to run and you add that last cup, go ahead and get it started. All right, so when it comes to dirty dishes, if you make a dish dirty, wash it. I mean, it's as simple as that. Dry it and put it away. The job isn't done until it's back where it came from. If you take food out, if there is shared food, make sure to cover it, reseal it if you take it. Don't take other people's food. Small things like that. It's like, yeah, you know, no one has touched this for a day. It still looks edible. Can I grab it? Come on, don't be that guy. If the Dr. Pepper, if the Coke, if the bottled water in there is not something you purchased, just because it hasn't been touched or no one has claimed it for a week, doesn't mean that you can go in there and go ahead and say, you know, I'll take it. Now, there is, if you actually ask around and you've had people popping in and out of the office, you've had visitors, then in that case, it could be something that, hey, you know, you've asked around, you went through and you did a little bit of work there. Now let's talk about personal communication. So if you're going to be raising your voice, you're probably wrong about what you're saying. If you're going to be screaming at somebody or yelling, guys, it doesn't have a time or place in a professional work area. Never swear. Now, there is some research that bringing in an occasional swear, you can actually really emphasize a point, but I would say err on the side of trying not to ever swear. It's something that many times I know I perceive people that swear as they don't have a very wide vocabulary, and therefore they're going for these adjectives, which somehow they feel are going to add emphasis, but they use it all the time, and it really, I don't know, it's just not something I perceive as someone is actually being intelligent. The boss, they're the boss for a reason. So even if you're on friendly terms, you know, you make sure that you don't undermine them, that you're not basically, in a sense, doing something that you wouldn't want them to see. It's about maintaining that relationship. Keep personal conversations at work to a minimum. It may be that the person that you're engaging with at the water cooler seems to really enjoy your personal stories about what happened this weekend, but understand that you guys are getting paid if you're there at work, and it may be something that, hey, you're in a position, you're not worried about your job, but it could be something where that person is having this have multiple times, and they're just falling prey to your great stories, unfortunately, and their boss may notice this, and all of a sudden they may find themselves without a job. Finally, I'm going to talk about business dining. This, and I talked about it, it's different than dining at home or dining at a friend's place. And this is where you want to understand that you're still at the workspace. It doesn't matter that it's, you know, off duty. Maybe your company is having a party event and they have it at a nice restaurant. Understand that people that get out of control, people that get overly drunk, that do something they shouldn't at the company party, they have been known to be fired. So it's not something that, you know, you shouldn't be, you know, looking to go outside of your bounds. Understand that personal conversation or small talk, it is perfectly fine at a place like this, but don't go too deep. Don't get too personal, and don't be surprised if actually business topics happen at a business dining event. That's just going to understand. Also, if the company's paying, don't be the guy that goes on and orders the most expensive things on the menu or goes around to the hors d'oeuvres and just takes all the caviar and things like that. Yeah, don't be that guy unless, I guess, you own the company. It's never mandatory, again, to drink alcoholic beverages at a company event. And any company that's trying to force you to do that, I would question the company. But I personally always avoid alcoholic beverages. I like to maintain control. I like to be the person that can drive if necessary. For me, I find that it's being able to maintain that control. Also, you know, when it comes to paying the bill and who's going to take care of that, if it was the company that invited you out, they should be covering it. But if it's just a number of your colleagues getting together, then it would be something that you guys want to split the bill. So hopefully you found that useful. I've got a lot more over at realmenrealstyle.com. This is part of my personal image system. It's a bonus, actually. We call it Manly Manners, and I go into a lot more detail there. But if you want more, go over to realmenrealstyle.com/episode17, and that's going to be where I have summarized some of this information, and we'll link you some other articles which you're going to find useful. Interested in learning more about how style can increase your earning power, help you command respect, and come off as more attractive? Gentlemen, I've got two options for you. First, go check out the Personal Image System. That's what this entire episode was based off of. It's got the science of style where it's action-oriented. It's got an amazing community, live training, 100-plus lessons with resource material. Or go check out Real Men, Real Style. Guys, I've got a free app over there. In that app, you're going to find infographics, thousands of free videos and articles. I've also got free ebooks at Real Men, Real Style, free courses, and I've got a free consultation system so you can enter a little bit of information about yourself and it spits out a personalized video for you. Gents, that's it. I'll see you in the next episode.